Thank you, Wes Tuttle. Set the mood to study the scriptures and worship together. So, what I'd like you to do is we're going to look at two passages by way of introduction. But let's look, if you'll open your Bibles tonight, we're in the study of Job chapter 1, and we have moved to verse 6. But I'd like you to open your Bibles to Revelation 3 for a moment in this study. Revelation chapter 3. And before we do that, let's begin with a word of prayer. And please just be in prayer for each other. And in prayer in regard to us finding a meeting place, this is why it's so difficult for me to think of going in great debt. What do we need a great debt, you know, for this few people? And so if we can find somewhere where we can meet, would be very good. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we move into a very important study in all of our lives. The unique thing about mankind is that we are so created where we touch two worlds. By our physical makeup, Heavenly Father, we are directly related to the physical world that we see. But because of our invisible, immaterial soul, we're also related to the invisible world, the spiritual world. This puts us, Heavenly Father, in a constant struggle. So dependent upon you in both of these worlds that we touch. Father, I pray that this study calls us to help us to understand it's not about just here and time. It's not about just our daily needs and our daily lives related to the material world. But it's also that immaterial world and that goes on for eternity. And I pray, Father, your Spirit will give me the ability to communicate these things. We can see this have an impact on our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now we are in Job chapter 1, verse 6. But what I'd like you to do, I want to start off tonight by looking at something that we saw in our study in Revelation. We're also studying, those of you that just listened to Job, we also are studying at our assembly the book of Revelation. And we saw last night this verse, and I want to start tonight with it. Revelation 3:5, deals with the letter to the church of Sardis, and that's all that we need to really get into in that respect. But 3:5 says, "He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments." This is a reference to eternal state. "And I will not erase his name from the book of life." And then we have the great confession of all confessions. I, Jesus Christ, will confess his name, that is the name of every believer, before my Father and before his angels. Now look at that last phrase, "and before his angels." People, that's powerful. Why angels? Here we are talking about an eternal state of every believer, and Jesus Christ is going to acknowledge your name to God the Father. Now, that we can understand. But look what it says, "and angels," his angels, elect angels, those that elected to be with God. This takes us right into our study in Job and bringing it up to where we are today. That invisible warfare, call it, Barnhouse called it the invisible warfare. It's called the spiritual warfare. It's called the angelic conflict. It has a lot of different names. And that's not our point. The point is what we're talking about, where angels are in conflict. Angels are in conflict with God. Especially one angel, who is the leader of this rebellion against God. And all the angels who join this super creature. So this angelic conflict, the spiritual warfare that we're talking about, involves angels against God, angels against angels. We saw that in Jude, where Michael and Satan are in battle over Moses' body. and a place in Daniel where they're fighting. And at the center of all this conflict, people, is mankind. Angels against God, angels against angels. And at the center of it all is mankind. It is about you and I, people. And that's the wonder, the greatness of the book of Job. That's what's really interesting. And we're seeing a conflict between a discussion in Job chapter 1 between God and Satan. And what they're talking about is this lower creature, man, mankind, homo sapien. If man offends you, ladies, just say homo sapien, mankind, whatever you want to do. But mankind, all members of the human race, we are the discussion. I want you to think about that. God, Satan, God and angels, and they're talking about this little wormy creature confined to a place on earth with a very weak body, very weak existence, dependent on oxygen, dependent on food, dependent on water, dependent on sleep, dependent on removal of waste. All this just to survive. These super creatures that have none of that going on. They're talking about this little creation. And because of this discussion going on between God and Satan, and the angels and all that is involved, it affects yours and my life. Individually, corporately, it affects our lives. Now, from our perspective, what is important, what is an impact here, is the conflict between angels and man. And that, if you want you to see the drama of this whole thing. So we have angels and God fighting this out, all about man. And then you bring into this whole drama the God-man. Wow. I mean, now you've centered it all on not only man, God, all in this one person, the God-man. It's powerful stuff. But this conflict began between deity, that is God, and the super creature before man was ever on the scene. Before Satan and the angels ever even thought about a lower creature, there was something going on between God and the angels, the angelic conflict. And it was long before man came around. Man's going to be way later down the line. Not a mystery to God. But the angels didn't think about it. Didn't even know that this was going to come up. Now, we're in Job chapter 1, where we first meet the discussion going on, the great conference, the battle of wisdom between God and Satan over man. We could spend now through Christmas studying something like the doctrine of an angelic conflict, doctrine of spiritual warfare. Books are being written. The first book was that I'm aware of ever written was by Barnhouse, The Spirit of the Invisible Warfare. But many books now have more books, not many, but more books have been written on it. So we could spend a great deal of time. I don't want to do that. What I'm going to do is we'll call tonight what we're going to do here at the beginning, an introduction to the spiritual warfare, the introduction to the angelic conflict. I'm not going to start point one and take you through 55, 60 points with a lot of subpoints under those. We'll be here through Christmas. Would it be worth it? Absolutely. Understanding the spiritual warfare is so important in understanding your own life, your marriage, your work, your social life, the church. Every aspect of our being is involved here. But all I want to do tonight is just start us off on some introductory points. We're going to study a lot of things in this book of Job. We're going to study how the original conflict started in Ezekiel, how Satan fell, and all these things. But not in this, not like going from it now. I want to stay with Job 1. But let's get a feel of where we are. Talking about these angels came before God to meet. Let's talk about that. Point one. All that I'm going to cover now is prehistoric. Now, what do I mean when I use the word? What do we mean when we use the word here? Before man. Before man and before the present earth. When I say prehistoric, we're talking before man and before the present earth. The earth as you and I now know it. So, in prehistoric time, before man, before the present earth, prior to the restoration of Genesis 1, God existed and God created all the universes, including a little room in all of the universes, and that's Earth, which is just a little room. It's a small room. I hope all of you are aware of that. We have our galaxy, and then there's all the galaxies. So if this, listen to enough Star Wars, and you'll learn it. But there are other galaxies out there, and other suns, and all of this. And then there's our galaxy, and then in the midst of all, you spring it, and then there's this little bitty ball. It's called Earth. Called Earth. And then God created, when He created that, He created a super creature called angels. Created a super creature called angels. Now, first God created the expanse. First God created all of the galaxies and all these things. And then He brings a creature into it. Angel. That's the way God does. He doesn't create the creature. It's, oh, I better have somewhere for it to go. He designs everything. See, Adam. Take Adam. He didn't create Adam first. He created Adam's body. Went down, grabbed some dirt, put it all together, and then He says, okay, there's a nice body. I'm going to put life in it. That's the way God is. That'll help us understand where does life begin. If we understand God. You start with God. When you start with God, then you start thinking down from that level. So here's God, eternally existing, no beginning, no end. That's what I am means, self-existent. And He creates this vast world, galaxies and galaxies. And then He creates the earth, designs it, gets the whole principle of gravity, a great thing going, and all that. And then He creates the super creature called angel. Point two. God created a super creation that He called angels. Point three. Angels are not created equal. Angels are not created equal. They're created in different levels, and we will talk about that later. I don't even want to cover that tonight. There are different levels of angels and different things about angels and things that we'll have to learn. The cherubim, the seraphim, and all these things that are important as far as angels. But angels are not created equal. And one of the angels, one of these super creatures, was the seal of the perfection of God's creation. His name was Lucifer. Lucifer. And Lucifer means bright and shining one. People, it is beyond our comprehension, the phenomenon of this creature. He's called the seal of God's perfection. He was the epitome of beauty. He was more intelligent than all other created beings, all of the other angels. He had the voice like a magnificent pipe organ. I'd love to hear Wes play this. Something just one of these pipe organs. What's the biggest one? How many pipes are in a big one? Hundreds, thousands, thousands. And somebody's got to go in there and clean them every now and then. All right? And all this stuff. He has a voice more beautiful than all of that. This is the epitome of creation, was this creature. Point four. This super creature, Lucifer, had the unique privilege of walking with God in the heavenly garden. He served as the priest. Now, what does that mean? He represented God to angels down here on earth and angels to God. He represented. He would go topside, and then he would come down and meet. Because that's what a priest did in the Old Testament. Priest represents man to God, God to man. That's what Jesus Christ did. That's why He is our high priest. Okay, He represents us to God and God to us. This is what this creature, super creature Satan did. He served as the priest for angels, representing God to them, and then he would represent the angels to God in heaven. Point five. At some point, this Lucifer looked at himself and became arrogant, filled with pride of his own beauty. He considered his own intelligence. He considered his great leadership, his trade. And at that point, he led a rebellion against God. Now, we will study this rebellion at some time, some other time, in many passages in Ezekiel, Isaiah, different places. We'll put together this rebellion against God. After his rebellion, his name will be changed from Lucifer to Satan. And he's also known by many other names that we studied last week. There are many questions to be answered in the study of that rebellion. Did all the angels follow Lucifer in his rebellion? We'll study that. Now, be careful. I'm going to show you some thoughts on that. About, did they all follow? Kind of give you a clue. Be thinking about it. God is going to make a statement later. There is no one holy because all have fallen, not just man, but angels. So, if God alone is holy, since God alone is holy, let's take an angel. Let's say an angel did not fall and was created in that perfect state, then he would be perfect. He would still be in that perfect state. So, we're going to talk about, did all the angels follow Satan originally and then given an opportunity? We'll study that, but I think we all know that one-third decided to go with Satan. Now, is that from the very beginning or at some point? That's one of the questions we'll have to study. Does the Bible describe this rebellion? And I'm going to show you in various places in the Bible, in Exodus, Habakkuk, different places. I think it does. I think the Bible describes some of the things of this rebellion, all related to water. What happened after the rebellion? So we have a lot of questions that we'll talk about of this conflict and everything, but we'll do that later. And finally, point six. As a result, that's all I'm going to do. This is an introduction to this conflict. As a result of this angelic conflict, this ancient warfare, a lower creature was designed and created by God, Homo sapien, mankind. The creation of this lower creature became the center of the conflict. Right down to you. And therefore, the story of the conflict begins in Genesis 1, and then from another perspective, Job 1, all the way to get the idea to Revelation 3:5. We'll study various aspects of this part of the conflict. Man coming on the scene now. So it is great warfare. As a result of the great warfare, then we have this man created. And the great question kind of brought man on the scene. And we studied it in 10 different ways in Job. The question of the conflict goes something like this. How can a perfectly righteous God have any relationship with unrighteous creature? That's the question of the conflict, and we studied it. Word of 10 different ways in Job. Job specifically states what the question is. Who can make the righteous out of the unrighteous? And I'm going to show you how righteousness is the question. Love is the answer. Righteousness is the question. Love is the answer. Now, next thing I want to do, having given you those 6 points of introduction, let's take a look at the existence of these prehistoric super creatures, angels, who are called to assembly before God. We begin with God, the being of God, the supreme being, with no beginning and no end. The expression, I am, refers to self-existence, meaning not dependent on anything. self-existence. See, you and I could never say I am. One, we got our parents, but two, we need air. We need food. God and what I am means I am dependent on nothing or anyone. That's why the great abomination, when Satan said, I am. Satan said, I am. I am independent of God, and I am independent existent. And that's what we do when we sin. Okay, so we'll be studying these things at that point. But what I want to look at is just take a look now and study this. There are a lot of places that I recommend you to go. There are books written on it. Volume 2 of Lewis Berry Chaper's Systematic Theology is an excellent place to study. Just get yourself a nice flowing idea of angelology, the study of angels. Now, we're not going to go through a lot of stuff. I just have just a few points here, but I want to go through them with you. We haven't done this in a long time, but we have this meeting called in heaven in Job 1:6. Angels are called in. So let's take a look and get a little handle biblically on these creatures. Point one, angels are created by God. Now, you're sitting here, well, okay, boy, that's a dramatic point. But I want you to understand, a lot of people don't know, a lot of people have vague ideas about angels. They're riding around with harps. And there are a lot of people, even some Christians, who think we turn into angels. People, we don't become angels when you die. I hope everyone here would never embarrass yourself to think that way. We don't become angels when we die. Angels are a set group. And I'll show you that, set number. And when we die, we remain saints in a resurrected body. Lower creature in that sense, but in a resurrected body, and therefore become higher. Turn with me to Psalm 148. Tonight is a wonderful night in the Bible. Wonderful night in the Bible as we go through some of these things. And we're going to start off with Psalm 148. Okay. Psalm 148. Let's just have fun. With a beautiful psalm. We won't read all of it, but let's just read some of it here. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Okay, that's the angels. That's why I love it when Wes gets to play for us. It just starts us off in a praiseworthy mood and temperament to praise Him in the study of His Scriptures. Praise Him in the heights. Who's He talking about? Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host. It's another way they're noted. Notice heights, angels, and host. Praise Him, sun and moon. Now we studied what those all refer to and how Satan's involved here. Praise Him, all stars of light. Isn't that interesting? The stars have their own light. It's flat. They have light, and then it's given out. Same with the moon. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Remember, there are two levels of. There's the outer or upper sweet waters, and the inner waters. The Lord, when God created, once you remember this, your mind is set in creation, a restoration. Restoration, He divided the waters. So there is right now, around the earth, there is like this, and this is water. It's called the outer waters. And then we have the inner waters. Down here, this is the inner waters of the earth. And in between, remember what the word, means in between the waters? What is the space between earth and the way out there? The heavens. And that's what heaven, the Hebrew word heavens, means. Heavens means between the waters. So you have this lower water and upper water. Okay, let's take a look now. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Now look at this. For He commanded, and they were created. He spoke, and the angels came into being. So God is the creator of angels. There's your passage. Look with me in Colossians. Let's go to Paul's writing. Go over here to Colossians. There's so much to correctly understand about angels. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 9. Colossians 1, we'll start reading in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now that comes, as we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Holy Spirit teaching us Scripture. So that you may walk. Now, why does he do this? Look what he says now. Wish we had time to outline it, but we're not here to study it. He says, for this reason, since today we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Understanding the Bible. Why? So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects. Now, we understand that that's done by walking by faith, and the Spirit leads and guides. When you do that, look what it says. So you have just this, the stages go through in the outlining of this sentence. Bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's why we have Bible class. Strengthened with all power, the Holy Spirit, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness, fastness, and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. That'll come in to those of you that were here in a study of Revelation, where we are not worthy in our own being. It's God who qualifies us. Here's another passage. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's that robe that we'll wear that we saw in Revelation last night. In Revelation 3, 4, and 5. And who makes you worthy? Because in Revelation 3, 4, talked about being worthy. Here he does it, God the Father. It's a beautiful passage. Verse 13. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness, the kingdom of darkness. People, the whole spiritual warfare by two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. From the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, last night, and we read it at the beginning of the night, he's going to proclaim our name, acknowledge our name, confess our name to the Father and to angels. Why is he doing that? Look what it says. Transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to his own kingdom. What's he doing? He's saying to the angels that I have rescued out of Satan's kingdom. And he names every one of our names to the angels that he has done it. Verse 14, in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Again, he is the image of the invisible God. You want to be transformed into the image of Christ, who is the image of God, so we're transformed into the image of our original state. It's a beautiful thing that God is doing. Verse 16, for by him, all things were created. Angels. Both in the heavens, that's the angels, and on earth. Visible, things that we can see. Invisible, things we cannot see. We cannot see angels. Are there angels in this room right now? I suspect so. I suspect so. We cannot see them. I wouldn't advise you going into somewhere and telling people that, though. You might get locked up, or at least people move away from you. But we understand. It's all right. It's all right. Okay. Visible and invisible. Now look what he says. Where the thrones. Now all of these are titles of the division of angels. If we were going to study the division of angels, we'd come back to this verse. Thrones means angels that sit on thrones and rule. Dominions, rule over dominion, and then rulers, authorities, all of these are rank and file of angels. All things have been created by him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Okay, so these two verses, these two passages, show us that angels are created, and they are created by God. God has created them. Like mankind are created with immortality, angels are not subject to extinction, as man is not subject to extinction. Man is subject to death, but it's just the flesh death. It's not death. Because Christ said to Martha, you recall, that even if you die, he shall live. So, all right, point two. So point one, angels are created by God. Psalm 148, 1 through 5, Colossians 1, 9 through 17. Point two, they were created in great numbers. We don't know how many. Hundreds? No, I think it's more than that. Thousands? Tens of thousands? I can talk to you about tens of thousands. I'll show you why. Okay, let's take a look at Daniel 7. I told you this is going to be a wonderful night of Bible study. Kind of Bible roaming. Daniel chapter 7. Verse 10. Daniel 7, 10. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Now, we're going to have to study Daniel in our study of Revelation. I won't take that long, but we'll make a chapter-by-chapter study, and we'll go through Daniel so you'll have a grip of Daniel later on in the book of Revelation. But Daniel 7, a river of fire, verse 10, a river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads. Anybody know what a myriad is? That's 10,000. 10,000, that's what the word myriad means. Thousands upon thousands, and myriads, that's 10,000 upon 10,000, were standing before him. The court sat, and the books were opened. Okay, look with me at Matthew 26, please. There's one passage. A tremendous number of them were created. Maybe a million, I don't know. You're talking about tens of thousands over tens of thousands. So, please look with me at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 53. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? I love that old hymn. If we had people that sang specials, I'd have somebody sing it again because it's been a long time. He could have called 10,000 angels. Beautiful hymn. If you've never heard it, it's a beautiful, beautiful hymn. But he didn't. He stayed on the cross and he bore our judgment. But he could have called 10,000 angels. Okay, look at Luke chapter 2. Yes. A legion, let's see, centurion was over 100, and there are 10 legions in, 10 centuries in a legion, so 10 would be 1,000, as I recall. I think there are 1,000 in a legion, I think. Okay. I have to check that, I'm not sure, but that's what I recall. Luke chapter 2, verse 13, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying. So just another passage, just there were a multitude of angels. Revelation 5:11. Let's look at the end of the book, the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Verse 11, and I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and living creatures, and the elders. Living creatures, by the way, as I'm going to show you, angels. And the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands. Tens of thousands, tens of thousands, and thousands of thousands. tens of thousands. Yeah, that would be what it would be. Myriads times myriads. Tens of thousands times tens of thousands. Yeah. I'm sorry? Yeah. At least. Yeah. Tens of thousands times tens of thousands. So it's a lot. It's a lot. Okay, that's point two. So there's a multitude. One, they're created by God. Two, He created a great number. Point three. They are created as spiritual beings. Invisible, yet material, and I'll explain that in a minute. Angels are both finite by immaterial, by material I mean, they are finite and spatial. They're not omnipresent. They cannot, the same angel can't be in two different places at once. The same angel is combined. So they're both finite and spatial in their existence. Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrew. Ten billion. Billion. Okay. 10 billion. Okay. So that gives you an idea how many angels there are. Enough to go around. Over all of the history of man. You think there are 10 billion? In China? Okay, let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews is another very important book on the study of Jesus Christ and the study of angels. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Now what we're looking at here is they are created as spiritual beings, invisible yet material. Angels are both finite and spatial. And by that I mean they're not omnipresent. They cannot be that way.
Were they created after the image of God like man was?
They have no record of that. Not stated. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? People talk about we all have our spirits who, angels, who protect us and who are around us, guardian angels type of thing. Passages like this, they get that concept. And it's a lot of fun. I do believe in it. And I do believe that I've had a couple of changes as someone went in and said, I want out. I want somebody else. And I'm sure that people who drive a certain way, that's it, I'm out of here. And maybe some that went into various occupations or war and stuff. But that's all in humor. But here's the point is that they are ministering spirits. In the spiritual warfare, it is important to be sure which spirit you're listening to, people. The Holy Spirit or the false spirit, one of Satan's men, guys. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, when you think of 1 Corinthians 15, that's the great death chapter. That's the great chapter that often is read at funerals, parts of 1 Corinthians 15. And it's a powerful chapter in the Bible. But what we want to do is concentrate on verse 39 and 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 39 and 40. This is an interesting statement, so let's pay attention to it. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earth is another. Okay, so they have a body, but it is different than our body. Now, I want you to know something interesting on the existence of angels. Please look with me at Luke 24. in the same motif of studying and understanding their physical makeup and what they are. They're spirits, but they do have a corporal body because they're not omnipresent. And it's not just out there floating. Okay, Luke chapter 24, Jesus Christ, verse 37. But they were startled, that is the disciples, they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he, Jesus Christ, said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. Now, we could spend hours here, because this is a very important verse in understanding the corporal makeup of an angel. Jesus Christ, by saying this, is not saying that angels do not have a body. He's not saying that at all. They do have bodies, but in their makeup, they're different than the human body. They're different than our body. So, he's saying here is that they can't take that form. Remember, they could in Genesis 6, but that's over with now because God put an end to that. So, they can't take that form any longer. So, he says to them, see my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. By the way, if we were studying this, we'd also look at why he chose hands and feet. That it is I myself, touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. So, he's not saying they don't have a corporal body, it's just not like our body. On this subject, man cannot see angels about him. There are various reasons for this. Let me give you one reason that I've always liked, I learned in seminary, why we can't see angels. And just to kind of, this is kind of like a free thing in here, but I've always liked this when I learned this. One of the reasons that they do not have bodies that we can see is that we would probably worship them. If we could see angels, we would probably worship them. I want to add, I think even without seeing them, man tries to worship angels rather than God. I think a lot of people have little problem talking about angels than they do about God or the God-man, Jesus Christ. And we kind of worship him in that respect. Please look with me at Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Colossians 2:18. Colossians 2:18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels. Don't want to ever do that. Taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Mind thinks that he sees these angels and starts worshiping them. Look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, and let's look at verse 8. Revelation 22, verse 8. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angels who showed me these things. And the angel said to me, do not do that. Do not worship me. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, of the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. Okay, point four.
You mean angels were showing these things, which to me sounds like revelation, and they said, don't do that. I mean, what's the meaning of
that? Okay, and I saw one and fell down, and I saw these things. The angel showed him those. An angel is the one taking him all these places. An angel will take him up to heaven. An angel, when we get to chapter 4, angels will be an angel sent, and he takes him around and shows him all this stuff. And that angel is the... Well, all the revelation. Yeah, all the revelation. An angel shows him all this. Don't worship me. Worship God. It'd be like if the angel took him around and took him here and showed him Christ and His glory and under the Lamb and all of these things, and we just get so involved. It's what a lot of people do in worshiping their teacher. It's what a lot of people get involved in worshiping their teacher. I've never had that problem, but there are people who worship their pastors and their teacher. Oh boy, they just can't be wrong. And people, you don't want to ever do that. That's where you get so out of kilter. And you can't even do that with angels. Okay, let's go to the next one. Point four. They are created with great strength. They are created with great strength. 2 Kings chapter 19. Let me just read it to you. 2 Kings 19 verse 35. Then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. I'll give you another one. Matthew 28:2. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel sent of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Stone had moved away when Christ was there. Now, whenever we speak of the strength of angels, please get in your understanding, it is derived power. Just as the strength of all created beings are, it is a power given to them by God, it is therefore limited. Now, elect angels use their strength to serve God. Elect angels use their strength to serve God. Revelation 18:21, and a strong angel. Boy, this is powerful. And a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. Chapter 10, verse 1. Revelation 10, verse 1. And I saw another angel, a strong angel. Chapter 5, verse 2. I went in reverse order. I probably shouldn't have done that. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. And then we had in chapter 10 another strong angel. And then we saw in chapter 18 a powerful angel. Now, but fallen angels use their strength, those angels who followed Satan, use their strength against man. Now, this is the question. Since angels are infinitely superior in strength to us, how can man even stand, a finite man, weak as we are, exist against them? Look with me at 1 John 4. Now, we'll take time to read this one with you. 1 John, this is important. 1 John, chapter 5. Excuse me, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, 1. Let's read a little bit. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. People, there are pastors who listen to the false spirit. And they think it's the Holy Spirit. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is He who is in you, who's that? Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world. That's, in context, the Antichrist here, the super being. And we are more powerful. People, that's what I try to tell you sometimes. The greatest power on earth is not a nuclear plant. The greatest power on earth is inside of you. It's inside of every born-again believer. That's why Satan doesn't care what you do. You can be singing, giving, worshiping, doing all this stuff. As long as you're doing it in the flesh, you haven't tapped into the power. The one thing he doesn't want to do is Christians understand that all you have to do is have faith in the Spirit, and that taps into his power. Now turn to me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6.
That's called the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit
being hung up. When you say that, what? That you have the, he is in you is greater than he that's in the world? That's the indwelling of the Spirit. Yeah.
The restraining spirit
ministry is when, during a tribulation, and the Holy Spirit is removed in that work, and Satan is able to do a lot of deceitful things to the nations. Okay, look with me, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 6. And let's just read a couple of verses. Verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, the Holy Spirit. Put on the full armor of God. You already have some of the armor on. Put on the full armor that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. People, nowhere are you told to fight the devil. Nowhere. Even Michael wouldn't do that. He said, I can't do it. I'll leave that up to God. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Your struggle is not against your husband and wife. But against the rulers. That was supposed to be funny. The rulers of against the rulers. And now these are the divisions of the angelic realm. The rulers against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So how do you and I withstand all of their power? Stand firm in the Holy Spirit. I want to finish this. Point five. They are created as glorious beings. They are created as glorious beings. But we saw in point four, in regard to their strength, how their strength is derived, this glory is derived. It's not theirs. It is derived. Let me read to you, write down and let me read to you, Luke 9:26. Luke 9:26, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. So they're created with glory. Point six. This one's interesting. They were created with the ability to sin. They were created with the ability to sin. Look with me, I think you need to see this one, 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2. And we'll read verse 4. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. So the angels were created with the ability to sin. Also Jude 1:6. Point seven. They were created superior to mankind. They were created superior to mankind. Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 8. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Let's read. Psalm 8, starting at verse 3. Psalm 8, 3. Beautiful psalm. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the Son of Man that thou dost care for him. Yet thou hast made him, mankind, a little lower than God, and dost crown him with glory and majesty. Okay, note the phrase, lower than God. Your King James says, lower than angels. The New the NIV says, lower than heavenly beings. The Hebrew may surprise you here, what the Hebrew word is. The Hebrew word is, that's Elohim. Elohim. That's the word in context here. Books are written on this one word. Let's simplify it. It is used of God, the true God of the universe. He is taken singular here. It is also used of false gods. The same word is used of false gods in the Bible, where it is translated in the singular God or in the plural gods. The Hebrew word may be taken, it's a unique Hebrew word, it may be taken in both plural or singular. It may be taken plural or singular, based on context and interpretation. And this word can refer to angels, and does refer to angels. The word itself is divine or supernatural connections. So that's why it's used of false gods, mythological gods. But for our study, is that man is created by design lower than angels. The assurance of this translated angels, the assurance that we need to translate this angels and not God. Turn with me to Hebrews 2. Let's go to Hebrews 2. Read this one together. Hebrews 2, as I'm going to show you, he's quoting the Old Testament passage. So let's see how he translates it under the leading of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 5. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere, saying, what is man that thou remembered him? Or the Son of Man that thou art concerned about him? Thou hast made him for a little while lower than angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and hast appointed him over the works of thy hands. So this is a quote. Angels are superior to man in form, in intelligence, in travel, but it should be noted the unique position of man, and this is where we started tonight. With man, because of his body and soul, man is a unique creature in that he is connected with two worlds at one time. On the one side, because of our physical body makeup, binds human life with the physical universe, the earth that we're in, with matter, with all the forces and processes of nature, all the way back to the beginning of man. So we're related structurally to the earth. On the other hand, with his invisible, immaterial makeup, man is also connected with the immaterial world, yet real. God, spirits, angels, all of this in the invisible realm. So people, here we are standing here in this physical world, and we have to be able to live here and in that invisible realm. We're in a unique position, a difficult position. It's very difficult. And we can get too involved on the physical realm because we can see it, and we lose touch with what is really going on. And at this point, we come right to our study in Job 1:6. For material man Job, we're going to see his whole life, is what happens in his life is because of what's going on in the invisible realm. Chapter 1, verse 7 of Job is a discussion between God and Satan, and the subject is this man. So while you and I are here, people, we've got to be able with in our life, in our marriage, and what we do with our time, and our money, and the worship, and the study of the Bible, Bible class, assembly, and all these things that we do, be able to see in this invisible realm. We connect both. We touch both. Yes, we are on the physical world. And we can get so involved in it, we lose sight that we're up here. So this is where we'll take us. This takes us right into 1-7 next Wednesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we just kindly went through in 1 hour an unbelievable number of years and centuries and time. We touched upon things that our mind cannot even fully grasp all that is there. Therefore, Father, we are so dependent on Your Spirit to make the things that we've seen tonight real, bear fruit in our life, cause us to be alert and guard. At the same time, enjoy life on earth. But Heavenly Father, because of that stability that we have and the confidence we have in the spiritual and the invisible realm, Father, we praise You for the God You are. What an awesome God. The way You've created us, the way You've designed us. And we get things so fouled up. We make things that are not important important. We lose sight of what really is important in the eternal, invisible realm. Father, we pray that You'll continue to open our eyes in this study. We praise You in Christ's name. Amen.